Boxy will be back tomorrow with her banger, but
it's pretty hard to come on the back of that song, but come across a story about two guys driving in the Kimberley, and they came across a snake eating a crocodile.
Sorry, what?
That's right. We're used to probably seeing crocodiles eat like snake eggs and that sort of stuff, but the big snake was eating the crocodile.
Because, I mean, you know, in the laws of the jungle, you know, you completely understand, like paper beats rock, croc beats snake. That's usually how things work.
I like what you did there. And the snake won the battle. So I thought I'd come up with some animals, and I'm going to throw a couple of animal fights at you.
Oh, and then we can figure out who will be the winner.
And you can figure out who
will win. This is great. So give us a call right now. Fev has a series of animal fights that actually occurred in the animal world.
Really?
You have to guess who would have won it. It's a little segment that we call...
Hypothetical Animal Fights.
Really? What an intro. What are we enjoying?
All you have to do, it's that easy. You just call 13 10 60 and just play along, and Fev will essentially host this and we'll all learn something.
Okay, here we go, guys. You ready? I'll throw a few at you.
Okay, this is just a trial run. Let's go.
A trial run.
Dave has a guess.
Okay. Dave's got a guess. Okay, so there's a battle between a pride of lions and a herd of buffaloes and two crocodiles at a watering hole.
So we got, wait a minute, so here you got, can you break it down for me again, mate?
So you got a buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
They were hanging out. Hanging out, having a little drink, because it's hot. They're in South Africa, right? Kruger.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And two crocodiles are just swarming there.
It's a three-way fight.
So I get it. So the buffalo's the meal. Lions are there looking for a feed, but then crocs turn up and go, I'd like a bit of buffalo as well.
Yes.
So who wins between the croc and the lion?
Yeah, so the facts are there's a herd of buffalo. It's pretty large, about 30 strong. Lions are after the buffalo baby, so they want to eat the buffalo baby. So the three lions manage to separate a buffalo from the herd.
Yep.
Which is smart, because that's what they do.
That's what you always got to do.
And crocodiles are big and much stronger than the buffalo.
Yeah.
Crocodiles have the element of surprise. Who wins?
Okay. I actually think, because you're at a watering hole, right, and crocs can go on land and water. Lions, though. Cats don't like water. Everyone knows that. Yeah. I'm going to go with a croc.
No. So you're going to lock in, you're locking in croc? You're absolutely sure.
That's where you're wrong.
Fev's already said no, so I don't know if we should build the suspense, Byron.
The buffalo wins.
The buffalo?
The buffalo wins.
Wait, you mean the meal won?
Yes, the meal won.
Are you serious?
They left the little baby there.
Yeah.
The croc went to get it, and the buffaloes came back as the herd with 30 of them and saved the little baby.
So the meal won. Like when I have Szechuan beef and the next day, the meal wins.
The meal wins. And I'll give him one more. Don't play that song too early, mate.
No, we'll come back.
I just want to give one more. One more.
You really do?
I really want to give one more.
Why not?
Yeah. Because this is the best one.
The fight between Fev and music.
You know how it works?
Fev,
when we get phones, we do the one that's not so funny at the start, and then the last one is the one that's the
Go for it.
The real clincher.
Okay.
A giraffe and a lion.
Oh, what? Just in a fight between both of them?
The lion's the king of the jungle.
Yeah, I know.
They've got sharp teeth. The giraffe is much larger, but the giraffe is also strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Just quickly, Ben from Windermere's on. He couldn't wait. So he could guess this one, Fev. Giraffe versus lion.
All right, Ben, what do you reckon, bro?
I reckon the giraffe.
Yeah, because the giraffe's got reach, doesn't he, Ben?
Yeah, he can get out of the way there.
Yeah, that's true.
How does a giraffe beat a lion?
Well, it wins. Don't worry.
And he can run, too.
And he can run.
Are you serious?
It's got long legs.
Well, that's right, Ben. It's got long legs. It managed to kick the lion to the ground and stomped on it at a total of 8 times.
Well done, Ben. You're a winner.
Thank
Congratulations. This game's going well.
Yeah, now you play your song, bro.
Slipbox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fifi should be back tomorrow. She's not feeling so well today.
Now, Byron, you'll love this story. There's many quirky ways people try to get things out there into the atmosphere so people can be aware of what's going on.
It's competitive.
Insta, Twitter.
Charity is tough now to get your message across.
It is tough, but a guy by the name of Vaughan Davis over in New Zealand thought he'd jump in his little four-seat Piper Arrow plane and drew over 50 kilometres a huge penis and balls.
I mean, they are all body parts. It's fine that you said that. That's
just... in awareness for testicular cancer.
So he's drawn a map with the GPS.
He has.
There it is. I mean, we should put that up. If it's not offensive, we should put that up on our Instagram, Fifi Dave Fev Byron.
Which is a great way to get people's attention.
It certainly is.
Especially in the skies over New Zealand.
It's interesting, Fev. We're actually going to talk about it with the New Zealand Minister for Health, who's on the line, Bill Hunt. Mr. Hunt, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you guys for having me, and I really appreciate that, Fev, you whispered the first part of the male appendage, but then went full blow on the second part. So, well done there.
Thank you. Bill, just before we continue, I'm sure you were on this show a few weeks ago as the Minister for Hotels.
Oh, that's correct, Byron. I wear many different caps, Minister for Health, Minister for Hotels, and interestingly enough, Minister for reminding people that Crowded House is an Australian, which is a pretty big gig, that one.
Sure. Look, can you explain to us what the pilot actually did?
Oh, well, Fev explained it well. As you can tell, this has gotten some brilliant publicity. A pilot has flown around the shape of a little fella to raise awareness for testicular cancer.
I mean, don't you think that's a little bit rude?
Oh, sure. You know, when you look at it, it turns a map of Auckland into a map of awkward, but it's for a good cause, you know. And plus, tourism's pretty happy. It reminds people that New Zealand is where they made the film Free Willy. So, to be honest, the film was Whale Rider, but the joke's not as funny.
Bill, would you say the response has been positive?
Oh, incredibly so. There has been some brilliant comments on our Insta account. Here's one here. Cheeky, but all for a good cause. I think that's lovely. Yeah. Someone also wrote, looks like the weather's a little dicky. But I'm not sure what that one means. Mm. But and this one, what an interesting flight route to go on. Who doesn't like a penis route? That's
okay.
Brilliant.
Thank you there. That's the Minister for Health,
And just for all the guys out there, make sure you do go see your GP, because testicular cancer is a huge cause of death in males, especially over 40. So if you're,
absolutely,
if you're in your car, make sure, don't be afraid, go see your GP.
Ironically, after that farce, it's actually no laughing matter.
It's not.
The actual topic.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, I watched a show, as I do, and Jimmy Fallon was on, and he had one of the most fearless, probably Hollywood actors of all time on his show. Ooh, he's a burning, pricked up. He's been on shows such as, you know, Fast and Furious 1 all the way through to 7, pops it up, drives cars at 300 k's an hour, got no fear. But he did drop a bomb on Jimmy Fallon last night.
Vin Diesel.
I'm not a real roller coaster kind of guy.
What are you talking, Vin? Why would you say this on national television?
I don't know why I'm doing this. I do stunts for a living. I would rather ride a GSXR with a loose screw, 150, maybe 170 miles an hour, down the turnpike without a helmet than get on a roller coaster.
Vin Diesel, he's scared of roller coasters. Dominic Toretto. The man from Fast and the Furious.
Mate, it's one of those things, when I go on roller coasters, you get a bit like, I hope. You know, half of them, it's just Carney's in charge. Like, if they tighten the screws.
I do get very fearful, and I'm always taking my kids to either the Melbourne show, or you go to Luna Park, or when you're overseas, you go to a theme park. And I'm very similar to Vin Diesel. And we've got little Len Dog in the studio. She's coming in because it's school holidays. Loves coming into work with Dad. So I thought we'd just throw to Lenny the things that your kids make dads do. So, Len Dog, when we go to theme parks, what do you guys, Lulu, Mia, and yourself, what do you always make Dad do that he doesn't like?
Go on roller coasters and big rides that make you feel really, really sick.
And I get really sick, don't I? And even like the little baby roller coasters that are like only for like the five-year-olds and under, I get really sick.
Yeah.
Like, Lenny, do you, like you and Lulu and Mia, do you get together and go, okay, we're going to force Dad to do this?
Me and Lulu do, not Mia.
Oh, Mia leaves him alone.
Well, Mia's like too cool. Like, I'll go on that ride with you. No,
I'm Dad, 17.
I'm 17.
No way.
Lenny, be honest, does he cry?
No.
Does
Almost.
He scream like a girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do scream. Like, you look at the kids. You know when you get like the photos and they do the snapshot when you get in, you go back and you have to look at the photos because you've got the camera there. I'm always like, ah! And the kids have got the biggest smiles on their face and they're like, can we buy it there? Can we buy it? I'm like, I don't want evidence that I'm like that. I literally scream. There's a five-year-old thing at Luna Park. You know that little, it's like a little dragon roller coaster. And I literally scream. And all the kids are like, ah! And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. Why do the kids make me do it? Why do you make me do it?
Because it's funny and fun.
It is pretty fun. So if any of the guys, any of the backmen who are playing Melton South in the next coming weekends, just scream up to him and go, hey, want to go on the cha-cha? And he'll just lose his mind.
So we'll throw 131060. What do you make your dad do?
Oh, kids do. As soon as you're a dad, kids just, you become their plaything. I sometimes, when I'm with my son in LA, I'll sometimes cook him meals and all that. And I once put on a very bad French accent, like a bad Manu kind of accent.
Oh, yeah.
Now, every time I cook anything, he's like, do your Manu thing. Do your Manu. And I have to, I'm in character now every single day.
So that he's winding you up. And yeah, how old's your son?
He's 8. 13, 10, 60.
Do it. Do the accent.
Yeah, come on, mate.
You can't say no to that. See, that's what I feel like when I'm at the theme park. You can't say no.
Do it.
Zephyr, prepared for you. It's that bad.
What are you doing?
What do you reckon, Len?
That was horrible.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fifi will be back on deck tomorrow, fingers crossed.
Vin Diesel, the fearless warrior, was on Jimmy Fallon last night and admitted that he has a fear of roller coasters, which was quite astonishing that he has that that fear, because he's obviously on some really, you know, the action shows that he's on, and it brought up a bad feeling that I get when I go to theme parks. I'm also scared of roller coasters because I get sick and my kids make me do it. And Byron had a great story about little Zephyr that makes him do a certain accent when he's cooking food.
Do we have to replay my accent that I do for my kid?
That's why I set it up.
Zephyr, prepared for you. Needs more sauce. Needs more sauce.
Christ. Oh, yeah?
Yes. Lenny gave some great feedback too, Dave. Said that was the most horrific accent I've ever heard.
Most dads don't have to share that embarrassment on a radio show, but kids do like to embarrass their parents. He forces me to do that accent whenever I cook for him.
Yeah, so we opened up the lines, 13, 10, 60. What do dads make you do? And we have Riley from Craigieburn.
I make my dad take me shopping all the time and he hates it.
Yes.
Wait, Riley, what do you mean, shopping for clothes?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the same. Dad, let's go to Southland and go shopping. I don't want to go shopping. I don't like it.
Yeah, and you know what I've done? You've got to ask questions because I don't care for the answer, but I just want an outcome.
Yes.
Like I'll go shopping with Nixie. Which one do you like? What do you feel like? Is it blue or the red? Which one do you want? Okay, yeah, let's go blue. You're definitely a blue girl. Bang, let's go!
And the quick, as long as it goes really quick, it's like even without, like, yeah, with Alex, we'll go shopping. Han, which one do you like? That one. Like, you don't even look at it.
No.
You're looking on your phone on Twitter. It's like, yeah, they're the red one. Yeah, got no idea.
We've got Kelly on the line. Kelly, what do you make your dad do?
Oh, Fev, I'm 22 and I still make my dad go on roller coasters.
Oh, and does your dad not like it?
Well, I traumatised him once at Luna Park with that spider ride. I tricked him. I said, it's not a roller coaster, it's still a ride. We can't even talk about it now. His face just goes wide. He's like, don't even start. Don't even start.
People that have never been on that ride, it's like it goes in like a figure eight and it just spins around and it's decorated as a spider. Oh, my God. The G-forces on that, it's horrific. Your poor dad, Cal.
Oh, too bad.
Too bad.
Suck it up.
Suck it up.
Yeah, too bad. A way to raise me and pay for my education, idiot.
Charlie from Torquay, what do you make your dad do?
I make my dad take me for a surf when it's pretty cold and paddle on the nipper board.
Oh, and where are you? How old are you, Charlie?
I'm 8.
And you're 8, and you live down in Torquay, so you obviously live on the beach, so you'd love surfing.
Yeah.
And Dad, does Dad get cold? Do you make him put a wetsuit on?
Dad doesn't get that cold. Dad loves going surfing. He's just, sometimes, like, he wants to rest, but I always make him do it.
Oh.
How could you say no to Charlie?
Mate, I want to go surfing, and I'm scared of sharks.
It's 5 to 8.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. A toddler in the middle of a room. On one side of the room, there's a pile of toys. On the other side of the room, $5,000 cash.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Toddler temptation. 119
As grown-ups, we know what we would do if we were faced with a choice between $5,000 and a pile of toys. But what would a toddler do? They have no understanding of the value of money at the age of 3, but their parents do. This time it's Dusty who is our contestant, and it was Dusty's mum Tammy looking on for toddler temptation.
Okay, Tammy,
yes.
Welcome to Toddler Temptation.
Thank you.
This is very exciting. You don't know what's about to happen, but you've brought your beautiful little boy,
yes,
Dusty.
Yes, I have.
He's 3 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is a social experiment that you're either going to love or hate.
Okay.
Because what we're going to do is we have a room. Now, that room has a mirror in it, but it's a two-way mirror.
Sure.
So we're going to pop Dusty in that room.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be looking through the mirror. Now, Dusty is going to be faced with two options.
Okay.
In one corner of this empty room is a great pile of toys. Lots
awesome.
Of Lego, toy
yep.
trucks.
Yep.
In the other corner of this room
yep.
is $5,000 cash.
Wow, okay. Okay.
There's a lot of pressure on Dusty. He doesn't even realise it.
No.
Whatever Dusty touches first, you win.
Oh, okay.
So you'll either be going home with some Tonka toys or
$5,000.
You could be $5,000 richer in a few minutes.
Yes, definitely the $5,000 would make a massive difference in all of our lives, everybody's lives, especially ours.
Okay, here we go, Tammy. Let's find out whether Dusty is going to win you $5,000.
Awesome, thank you.
Here we go.
We will be looking into this room where Dusty is faced with the choice between the toys and the cash in Toddler Temptation. Dusty won't be able to see us. It is two-way glass.
Do you want to come and play in this room for a minute?
He's in the room. So FIFA's dropped Dusty off. Now Dusty is on the spot, about 2 metres away from the table. To Dusty's right, a big pile of cash. To the left, the rubber ducky and the blocks. Dusty's having a little look, considering. And it is a big ducky. Why wouldn't you walk towards it? He's just looking at it, but he's not.
And look at this big duck.
Gone straight for the big rubber ducky.
It's a big duck.
It's a massive duck.
Dusty loves the big rubber ducky. That must be annoying for Mummy. There he goes. He's found the cash, but it's a bit too late, isn't it?
Sorry, we didn't get you $5,000, but you did get the toys.
We did, and the kids will love that.
Exactly. And do you know what I love about this too? I love that, see, at a very young age, we're not swayed by money. There's a good lesson in that, isn't there?
Yeah, and our family is like that. You know, we're not run by money. We love, just being with each other and for the kids to be happy, so they'll all be happy with the toys.
That's beautiful. Oh, you're a great sport there, Tammy. Yeah. And you did great, Dusty.
And look at this big duck.
Oh, I love how Dusty's just all worried about the duck and beautiful mum, Tammy. We're not influenced by money, but you would have been wrapped if you had the $5,000.
Oh, mate.
You would have been wrapped.
Don't get me wrong, like, I'm a father now, but geez, if like Freddie went to the toys, they're going to cash converters. I need that cash.
And I just love how we do this amazing, Toddler Temptation for $5,000, and then other shows have picked it up, but they're only doing 1,000. Oh. Stop copying our gear, guys.
This is quite flattering, wasn't it? There's some other show in Sydney. Yeah. I think they did one called Kitty Cash.
Kitty Cash.
Yeah, cute.
Anyway, we give away $5,000 here on the Fox.
I mean, I'm sure we've ripped off some great ideas from other shows in the past.
No, we haven't.
It's the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Massive news today, Byron. In the world of sport, there's only 1 year to go to, guess what? The Commonwealth Games.
Yes, the Com Games.
Opening ceremony 2018 on the Gold Coast.
A year. So that's the countdown, is it? So we're counting down 365 days to go, and that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Wow.
1 year to go, and there's festivities all over the country today.
Fantastic. Look, he's a regular guest on this show. I know he's one of Fee's favourite guests when she's with us in the mornings. It is the chef de mission, the former gold-winning Com Games marathon winner who now pretty much runs the show at the Commonwealth Games. Steve Monaghetti is on the line.
Morning! Hey guys! One year and counting! I am so excited. I found it hard to sleep last night, but then again, I live in Ballarat, so it's pretty easy to sleep because bugger all happens here, guys.
Okay, so look, you're obviously, we can tell, very excited about the Com Games, Monitz.
Oh, am I? What? Did you know it'll be the 21st Commonwealth Games, guys? It already feels like a 21st up here in the Gold Coast. Well, every night does, because that's how we drink.
Right, okay, gotcha. The prep's all going well, though, Monas?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, the Com Games flame, it's travelling around, and, okay, I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but as a nice Aussie twist, once it hits Queensland, the fame will be passed on to light a ciggy, and then everyone bums a gasper all the way up the coast until it hits the GC. That's pretty Queensland, eh, guys?
Well, it's very, very Queensland indeed, Monas.
I know. We also put an Aussie twist on some favourite events.
What have we done?
Okay, firstly, get this. 100 metres is going to take place on Cavill Avenue in the middle of the night whilst all the athletes are wearing white Arnett wraparound sunnies.
Okay.
Yeah, next. Lawn bowls will be barefoot with the competitors in Hawaiian shirts and terry toweling hats. And introducing a new and exciting exhibition sport, the 4 a.m. drunken tattoo. Whoever gets the least amount of spelling mistakes wins.
Tram tat.
Anything else, Monas?
Oh, well, there is talk of getting Queenslander Pauline Hanson to host the closing ceremony. Like, the thought process is, who better to tell foreigners to go back to where they came from? But we're still touch and go on that one.
All right, all the best. That's Steve Monoghetti on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Play one of our favourite games in a moment right here on the Fox.
Yeah, up next is Accents Real or Fake. And I come across this on Monday and I shot a TV show. It's a sort of a funny little game show with a lot of comedians, Dave, called Behave Yourself.
Yeah.
And our host, Darren, I referred to him often in the show as the Englishman.
Darren McMullins?
McMullins, yes. Yeah. Who was on The Voice, did all that sort of stuff. Lives in LA in the hills. You'll probably see him next week.
Oh, mate, he's all over the show. He lives the life.
So I came in and told all the guys on Tuesday morning about the Englishman, and I got told he's Scottish. So obviously got the wrong accent. And we also had a guy on the show today by the name of Byron Cook, who tried to do an accent.
Oh, this is taken out of context. Prepared for you. Nismo sauce.
Christ.
And the game, we would say that accent is fake.
Is it real or is it fake? So give us a call right now if you've got an accent, or you can put an accent on and we'll try and guess. 131060.
Hey, that accent you put on, Byron, was that from the People's Republic of Really Sad?
Something in private I do for my son. It was a moment.
Je m'appelle.
I'll take your calls after this.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Here's a real or here's a fake. So Fev, shooting a new TV show over there for Channel 7. The host is Darren McMullen. You might have got a bit confused as to where his accent is from.
Yeah, I kept calling Daz the Englishman, and I reckon I said it 4 or 5 times. He never picked me up on it until I came in the studio and Sonda said, he's Scottish.
Right. Yeah, but his accent's all over the shop. Like, it's Scottish. Do you know what I mean?
Ish.
Yeah, exactly. The way this works, obviously, you give us a call. You either have an actual accent or you're putting on a fake accent, and we will try and guess.
We will judge it.
Yeah.
And we've got Sean from Safety Beach. How are you going, Sean?
Hey, how's it going?
Sean.
I'd have thought McMullen would have been a dead giveaway, eh?
That's so fake. I don't even know what country you're trying to do.
Sean's an Irish name, but I don't think you're Irish.
I'm not Irish, bro. What are you talking about, Irish?
Oh, you've gone to New Zealand.
You've actually changed your accent in the last 10 seconds. What is the fake accent you're attempting?
The fake accent I'm attempting? No, I don't even know what my real voice is.
Sean has forgotten what he's pretending to do.
We picked that up very early.
Right, we'll move on.
Alison.
That just turned into the martial arts of accents.
Good morning, Alison.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Well, yeah, so you're an Australian, so that's fake.
Hang
not
on.
True.
That's just, you, what?
Not true.
Where are you from, Alison?
I was born in New Jersey in the US.
Oh, well, no, you actually speak in Aussie. You tricked us by doing a fake.
Hang on.
You outfaked us.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know who wins in this situation. So
we lost.
We'll guess that you're American. It's an American real accent?
It's an American real accent.
Correct.
My dad actually sounds like Tony Soprano, and this is what I've got.
That's
Tony
cool.
Soprano, great movie. Great show, sorry.
Just a memo for all the callers. Don't let's not overcomplicate it.
All right, we're going to lead with an actual question rather than how you going. I think we've got to go with an actual one.
We'll Andrea.
Hello, how are you?
Russian?
Oh, very good guess.
Oh, that's fake.
Russian cartoon character?
I'm tipping Andrea that might be fake.
Yes.
Correct. Well done. Thanks for your time. It's probably not even her name.
Are there any real foreigners on this show?
Last caller, Tony. How are you going, Tony?
Hello there.
And what country are you from?
I'm from Scotland. I'm from the Vale.
From the Vale,
from
hey?
The Vale.
Oh, that's interesting. When did you come across here, Tony?
I came across in 74.
74?
74.
So how old were you?
I was just a young pup.
Yep.
Okay. I was probably about 19.
Tony, Hearts or Celtic?
I'm a Celtic, my fan. Yes, that's what I am.
Really?
Yes. And what's a Celtic?
A Celtic is a football team. I don't know whether you know that.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well.
Some recovery.
Yeah. And do you know Braveheart? What is that?
Braveheart the movie? Yeah. I was Braveheart.
Ooh.
Yeah, nah, that's no, fake. Well, come on.
Start talking in your actual voice, please, Tony.
Well, I do like Mel Gibson.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Days like today, I feel like I'm still playing footy, Dave.
Oh,
just really feel like I should still be playing, especially for a young kid who plays for the GWS. I don't know if you're across this story, but Josh Kelly, who plays for, he's played 62 games, and North Melbourne's come across to him and offered him a 9-year deal for $9 million.
What is he like, 20?
He would he would literally be 20 years old, and we know the big contract that your mate over in the for Sydney signed, a 10-year deal.
Big buddy, 10 years we signed him for. He'll be in his mid to late 30s at the end of his contract.
Yeah. By the time that like that finishes up, global warming's kicked in, Sydney's just underwater anyway. Like, not even Everton.
So he's been linked with a deal to head to North Melbourne next year for $9 million. So it got me thinking, guys. Really got me thinking. I don't play footy anymore, but, you know, after today's show, we're going pretty well here.
Are we what?
Are we what? Yeah. And our amazing, amazing boss, Adrian, a.k.a. Bun Boy.
Top knot, yeah.
Top knot.
He wears his hair in a top knot, for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah, I try to put in a call to AB.
Like an 80-year-old retiree. Like, that's how we
read. Yeah. Sure. But he's not that old, obviously, but looks it. But anyway, hope he's not listening. But we try to put a phone call into AB, and AB doesn't like to go on air, which is strange, so he wouldn't take my call. So I just wanted to get across to him that, well, we're going pretty well here, so I'd love a bit of reassurance. Yeah. Would love a 9-year deal.
Mate, I could not agree with you more. And maybe that might be the old switcheroo. Because, like, you know, there's some Sydney radio stations that seem to be nibbling around us. maybe defect.
Star FM down the border. They'd be pretty keen to get me. In the country. So he didn't answer our calls. I put it through. But I'm going to get my manager onto it. So make sure you answer your phone today. And probably your manager, Dave, and your manager, Byron, to get in. And free agency. It's a big thing now. That's so nice. I know in the radio business, you got to sign up the big dogs.
2026.
Imagine us.
End date for our contracts. Thank you.
That'd be
Fief. Fief obviously would probably already be signed up to 2026, I would have thought.
Yeah, 2026. I won't even be 40 yet. Oh, yeah, maybe a little bit.
No, we
over.
Will. I think for that long, we'd all be retirees by then. And we're doing 13, 10, 60. Do you wear adult diapers?